This is Home Improvement USA, the program where the industry experts give the best information on home improvement products and services. Join us now as we begin this hour of Home Improvement USA.
And welcome to Home Improvement USA, your home improvement information source since 1994. I'm Dave Rush, glad to be with you today. We got a lot of good guests on the program this hour of Home Improvement USA. But, you know, there are a lot of home improvement shows out there, and sometimes we like to bring the hosts of those on and feature them on Home Improvement USA. And that's what we're doing in this segment of the program. From the Image Home Improvement Show out of Phoenix, Arizona, we bring in their host, Steve DeBell. Steve, how are you today?
We're doing great. Thanks for having me back on the show.
All right. Good to have you back on the show. And Steve, tell people where they can hear you if they're in the Phoenix area, like I am, several months out of the year. But where do people hear you and the Image Home Improvement Show?
Okay, well, you can hear us every Saturday morning. We are online on starworldwidenetworks.com. That's starworldwidenetworks.com. Click on the Listen Live. You'll see my icon right on the homepage. You can click on it, Listen Live, or check out any of the archives.
All right, very good. Now, Steve, I'm going to take a few things from your website that you featured on the radio show, and I'd like to begin with granite countertops. What should people be thinking about if they're contemplating getting rid of the old countertops and starting with granite countertops?
Well, I think one of the things that you need to understand is that there are a lot of different types of countertops out there, different types of solid surfaces, stone, which is quarried from the different quarries around the world that are brought into the different manufacturers and fabricators, as well as solid surfaces that are made by man, which are more uniform in look, in texture, and also, depending on what your preference is, you know, we like to say if you like granite or even quartz, they gauge the stone by the movement that they see within the countertop. In a man-made surface, if you like, for instance, if you like different type of glitter in the countertop, it's in a man-made countertop, it's more even, where there isn't a lot of difference because it's poured as one uniform type of slab with whatever they're putting into it. It's all man-made, so it's more uniform. Now, it's some people like the movement in the stone. My personal preference is I like a natural stone over a man-made stone because it adds so much more character to the design of the kitchen.
Now, it should be people be prepared to spend a whole lot of money when dealing with granite countertops?
Well, granite countertops are definitely, you know, if you're in a track home that you started with and now you're looking to do your first upgrade from a laminate countertop to a granite countertop, yes, it is going to be more expensive. However, much like paint, there are different grades of granite. You could either have a group one, group two, group three, or group four. As the group numbers climb, so does the price, as well as we talk about that movement and the type of stone that it is, it becomes, there's more movement. There's about $500 difference roughly on average between different groups of granite. So what I always try and do is when we do quotes for potential customers, and then obviously depending on the size of the kitchen, it's going to directly affect how much cost there is going to be in the granite that you choose.
Steve DeBell is with us. He is the host of the Image Home Improvement Show out of Phoenix, Arizona. His website is imagehomeimprovementshow.com. That's imagehomeimprovementshow.com. That's where you can hear archive shows. And Steve, now let's move on to real estate. I'd like to bring in my co-host here, Steve Leventhal, SRN Broadcasting in Chicago. And Steve, we've both gone through the buying and selling of homes, and we featured it a lot on Home Improvement USA. Steve Leventhal, because I got two Steves here on the show right now, tell us a question you might have when you are buying real estate, and then we'll go on to Steve DeBell's answer.
How do you not overpay for real estate?
Well, that's a good question. Depending on what, if you're looking for a house, then I think, or any real estate transaction, you've got to do your due diligence and know what you're going after. If you're going after a house for yourself, well, the first thing that jumps into my mind is that you always have to make sure what the comps are for similar type homes in your area. And then another key factor is knowing the history of the home. If it's not a new home, you want to find out a little bit of history, what was done to that home previously. Now, if you're dealing with the original owner who built the house or bought the house, they should have a record of what was done to the house. If not, there are other ways that will, it's not an ironclad way, but there are ways to find out if there are certain things that were done to the house. You could check with your local municipality that provides permits for homes. You could also check out Build Facts, and Build Facts will actually give you, it's much like a Carfax, will go back and give you a little history if there were any permits filed for any remodeling work that was done on this home. So you've got to find out, get some history into that. And then I think knowing what was there, knowing the condition of the home, knowing what they're asking for along with the comps, you've got to make an educated decision if it falls within your budget. If it's an investment property, you've got to find out exactly, you know, it's not so much what is the house going to cost me, it's what's the house going to get me if I go and sell it. How much is it going to make me once I put it back on the market after I do whatever I'm going to do to it? And I think each scenario has overlap, but you have to make sure, first and foremost, do your due diligence and find out exactly what's going on with the house and what's going on in your neighborhood.
Now, Steve DeBell from the Image Home Improvement Show with us right now. What would you say about picking a real estate agent? What's a good way of going about doing that if you're really not knowing anybody in the area that does this?
Well, I think much like when you are a homeowner and you hear people talk about it all the time on television, on radio, but you need to obviously talk to your friends and family and see exactly if they've ever had any dealings with a real estate agent, or possibly, you never know, they might have a relative, or maybe if you're lucky enough, if you need a real estate agent, that maybe want somebody in your family is a real estate agent. You could also go online. Then picking the right person's important, but also making sure that person is with a company that is going to, you know, go to the nines for you, whatever you want, whether it's looking for a home or trying to sell your own home. Because you always have people with different success stories in buying and selling. Again, much like as a contractor, there's nothing wrong with asking for testimonials. Or there's somebody that maybe that you've worked for that I could speak to and just see how you performed for them. And there's nothing wrong with asking for testimonials and then basing a part of your decision on some of the other input you get from other people that have used a possible individual that you may be interested in hiring.
So, Dave, one of the important things that I've learned through friends and other anecdotes is that you want somebody who knows how to sell that neighborhood, or who knows how to buy that neighborhood or city or village where you're looking.
You're exactly right. I sold a house in Mount Charleston, Nevada. I had two different real estate agents over a period of several months. I got the third, and it was sold within a week because they were familiar with the area. Exactly, Steve. Your point well taken. Steve DeBell from the Image Home Improvement Show is with us. Tell us about your show, Steve. What can people expect to hear? I guess we'd have a general idea that it'd be about home improvement, but you have some co-hosts. What kind of things you like to talk about? And I would imagine there's a heavy slant towards warm weather home improvement projects with your show.
Well, I have to tell you, one of the things that I enjoy is being able to, for the most part, do both interior and exterior work on a home or even a business, because we do commercial work as well. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. One of the advantages I have is that my co-host is a home inspector by trade. And we both, in the field of being active, we never run out of content for the show, because we see so many different things that people have tried to do, or things where homes have just deteriorated, people that want to flip homes, and they're looking to us for an expertise on, well, is this really viable to fix or not? You know, so we try and cover all of those at the same time too, so that this way, I don't like to see anybody waste money in doing anything, especially when it comes to their home, because, you know, your home is, for the most of us, is the most valuable asset we buy in our lifetime. So we want to make sure that they spend their money wisely when they do take care of it. But taking care of it is our top priority with us when we talk about different things on the show.
Steve Dubell, the Image Home Improvement Show. Check him out, imagehomeimprovementshow.com out of Phoenix, Arizona. Steve, we appreciate you coming on the program. We'll do it again a few months down the line. I'm Dave Rush, along with Steve Leventhal. You are listening to Home Improvement USA.
Winter is almost upon us, so it's time to make sure your home's interior is ready. I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about a checklist to help you get it done right after this.
Windows are a prime spot for energy loss, but you can add a barrier against the winter chill by installing Duck Brand Roll-On Window Kits. Roll-On Window Kits come with a pre-taped edge for easy application, require no measuring, and fit the window frame for an airtight seal. Also look for new Duck Max Strength Window Kits with puncture resistance film that is 2 times thicker than standard window kits, making them ideal for high traffic or pet friendly homes. Find Duck Brand weatherization products at duckbrand.com.
Here's a quick checklist to make sure your home's interior is ready for winter. First, make sure water pipes in unheated areas are properly insulated to protect against freezing and to save energy. You can find inexpensive foam pipe insulation in 3 to 6 foot lengths at your local home center. Next, make sure your fireplace and chimney have been properly cleaned and checked. This is a job for a professional chimney inspector. You should also have your furnace checked by a pro. An oil-burning unit, heat pump, or radiator should be inspected annually. A gas or electric furnace should be inspected every 2 to 3 years. Finally, this is also a great time to drain your water heater to remove sediment from the bottom of the tank, making the unit last longer and run a lot more efficiently. I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner. If you've ever worked with drywall joint compounds, spackle, or similar products, you know that they have a tendency to dry out between jobs. The resulting lumpy mess is practically useless, not to mention a waste of good money. So, here's a way to keep that from happening. First, use a putty knife to level the top of the material inside the container. Then add just a few drops of water on top of it. Next, cut a piece of kitchen plastic wrap to the size of the container and lay it on top of the compound or spackle before you seal up the container. The plastic wrap will catch the moisture evaporating from the joint compound and keep it from drying out, so it's ready for the next job. I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner.
Don't let your dreams disappear. We here at National Credit Advisor can help you qualify for that new car you've been dreaming about or that new home you know you deserve. Never again be rejected because of bad credit. Just call us here at National Credit Advisor today and see how much we can help boost your credit score. We've helped thousands repair their credit so they could finally start qualifying for the purchases they've been dreaming about. Stop being held back from getting the things you want. We help rebuild your credit score so you can qualify for the home, car, or credit card you deserve. No matter how bad your credit is, just call 1-800-605-3081 today to see how much we can help your credit score. No one is turned away. Call now, 1-800-605-3081. That's 1-800-605-3081. Again, 1-800-605-3081.
Now, back to Home Improvement USA.
It is Home Improvement USA. I'm Dave Rush, joined by Steve Leventhal. And in this segment, Steve, we're going to talk about disaster preparedness. Is that how you would say it, or disaster preparation?
Yes.
Okay. And Steve, why don't you set this up? Because this is a friend of yours, Aaron Miller, but bring him onto the show.
Right. Well, this is a friend of mine in discussions, and he can sort of explain more about how his background is. But he knows that I do the Home Improvement Show, and I've told him that I'd love to do a whole show on, you know, how to go around the house and look for things that, you know, that are trouble spots so that you can prepare, prevent, and however, proof your house for disaster. So he has finally wrestled him, brought him over here and plied him with whatever lunch to get him to come on down here. So, Aaron, welcome to Home Improvement USA.
Thank you. Happy to be here. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Glad to have you with us. And so let's talk about how to prepare your house for a bad situation. And disasters, you know, people think hurricanes and they think of tornadoes. But, you know, you mentioned things like hail, wind. There's a lot of different ways that your house could get wrecked up. So let's start with that. What do you consider a disaster?
Well, disasters, unfortunately, come both in large sizes and in small sizes, and they come in a myriad of places. Every different region throughout the country has their own different opportunities. So in places like California and Arizona, they have their own unique issues due to drought and wildfires and Santa Ana winds and things of that nature, where we don't know anything about that where we live in the Midwestern area. Then think about the Midwest. They have issues like ice dams, which are a huge buildup of ice and snow on your roof during a terrible snowstorm. Well, obviously in California and Arizona, they don't know anything about those types of issues as well. Then on the East Coast, you have now storms coming in every single year, whether it's, you know, Superstorm Sandy or a nor'easter. There are different weather storms that are affecting the East Coast every single year. So every region has its own individual opportunities and its own different experiences when it comes to disasters. But they also do come both large and small. So they come in the form of small weather events, storms, things of that nature. Or unfortunately, they also come in the form of large weather events, huge hurricanes, or, you know, regional storms. Again, like we were seeing with Superstorm Sandy or Hurricane Katrina or some of those other awful atrocities that we all know so much about.
Okay, Aaron Miller with us. And tell us a bit about yourself as we get into this segment.
Sure. So I've spent most of my life in the restoration industry, and my specialty is helping folks on the commercial side help homeowners and business owners with specifically fire, water, wind, mold, and a few other different types of restoration issues. And I have experience both at the individual restoration company level all the way up to working for some of the largest conglomerates and national franchises throughout the country. And what my specialty is now is I do some consulting where I help people, again, focus on how to prepare for some of the larger weather events. That's more of my specialty today, but I also, like I said, have experience all the way back from the individual restoration company that went and responded to the everyday homeowner. And most of my experience at that level was in the Chicagoland area, so I have a lot of experience with sump pump backups and basement flooding, ice dams, and then even fires, large fires as well.
Okay, Aaron, you talked about the two P's when we were preparing for the interview itself: planning and prevention. So this is how to get your house all ready. What are things that you do?
Sure. So as I talked about before, the two most common occurrences at the residential level that are going to cause impact are floods and fires. So typically we start there. And when we're talking about prevention of things like floods, unfortunately, there's only so much that you can do. If you're in an area where there is a flash flood or there's a horrible storm, there's a chance that you could get some water inside your home. But there are some things that you can do that can get you a big leg up in case you're in an area where there are storms. So the first thing that you could do is you could make sure that you not only have a working sump pump if you have a basement, but that you also have a battery backup generator. So that's one of the most important factors, is if you do have a basement that floods, a lot of people don't realize that about 95% of the time when a basement floods, it's during a power failure. And if you do have a power failure in your home and you have a sump pump and you do not have a battery backup, then unfortunately that device is also not going to work during your power failure. So a simple device which costs you a couple hundred dollars at your local Lowe's or Menards or Home Depot is a battery backup for a sump pump, which is an extremely important piece of equipment that I recommend every homeowner that is anywhere, you know, east of the Mississippi that has the potential to have flooding. Now, there's a lot of homes, especially when you start to get out west, that don't have basements and they don't have flooding. So these are less of a concern to them. But for half of the country, this is definitely a major concern. Additionally, you can also make sure that you have a waterproofed basement, so there aren't cracks in your foundation, there aren't seepage, there's not seepage, and there are a lot of companies out there all throughout the country that can help with waterproofing if you have, you know, basement cracks or cracks in your foundation. There's also window wells is a very, very important thing as well. So if you have a basement, there are wells outside of your home typically that have drains in them. What those wells do is if water backs up during a storm, the well takes the water and dumps it out towards the road. So there's some issues where a lot of times leaves build up in those, or the windows themselves and the sills that go into the homeowner's basement have cracking in them. So all of those factors combined, all of these ceiling and not having proper window wells and not having a prepared and sealed and backed up sump pump, are probably all of the most common ways in which people find themselves with a flooded basement.
Yeah, and Dave, I can tell you something else, and Aaron, it's as much as taking the water that's coming from your downspouts and making sure it's diverted away from the house. I mean, we used to have a problem in the corner of the basement where anytime we'd have a modest amount, I mean, it'd have to be a pretty good rainstorm or a lot of standing water, then we'd get a little seepage in the corner of the basement. And then what we finally did was we dug a French drain so that we would, using gravity, run the water down towards the street because we're above street level. And we diverted the water from one of the downspouts into that French drain, and it has been absolutely bone dry ever since.
Did you do that all yourself, Steve, or you had some real professional help?
I paid Jeff Lynch's guys to do it.
I didn't think you did. Okay, Aaron Miller is with us. Now, what about fire?
Yeah, now fire is also one of the most common causes of a major restoration event inside someone's home. And this is as simple, believe it or not, as making sure that you have working and active smoke detectors. So many people either have smoke detectors that go off so often because they're working very well and they're annoying, and every time you cook a frozen pizza in the oven, they go off. So people pull them off the ceiling or shut them off, don't replace the batteries. And I can't tell you how large of a mistake this is, because those are lifesavers. They're one of the cheapest and easiest ways to prevent a fire in the home and to save lives, frankly. Additionally, you also have people that do things like put items like mops and other paper and flammable material in areas of their home, like in an area where you have HVAC equipment, for instance. So a lot of people have a room in their home where they have all of that stuff where there's active fire. You want to make sure that all of those spaces are cleared out from any areas that are flammable. You also never want to run appliances in the house when you are not home. So most people don't realize this. The number one cause of fire in the United States is dryer fires. So what is a dryer fire? A dryer fire is when you have a huge amount of lint back up inside your dryer so that as it's heating up, that backup lint is preventing any air from circulating or escaping out of the house. And after a while, that heat accumulates and that lint is an incredible... It catches fire very easily, so it's extremely flammable. So one of the number one causes of fires in a home are dryer fires. So to prevent that, we need to do a couple things. The first thing is you need to clean those vents and make sure that that lint is not backing up. Additionally, and most importantly, you never want to be running that dryer when you're not home. The reason is because if you were having a dryer fire, there will be a lot of smoke. You'll be able to at least go unplug or shut off the dryer during the process and probably prevent a large portion of your home from burning down. But dryer fires are an extremely common way that where people leave the home and run that dryer, and it could be catastrophic. Additionally, obviously, doing things like leaving candles burning for smokers, leaving cigarettes going is a huge common cause for how people burn their homes down. And then the last thing I would caution is today there's also some very cheap lamps. Halogen lamps that heat up a lot, so making sure that you're not putting those against a wall or against curtains are very important.
Okay, Aaron Miller with us, and we're talking about how to disaster-proof your house. And in a future segment here on Home Improvement USA, we will talk about what to do if you have a situation where you've encountered some problems, and what do you do now after all of this has happened. So, Aaron, we sure appreciate you coming on the program today, and we look forward to having you on a few weeks down the line, all right?
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. It is Home Improvement USA. I'm Dave Rush with Steve Leventhal. Remember, check out our websites, homeimprovementusa.com and homeimprovementusa.net.
You know, sometimes when you compare prices on products, you think to yourself, what difference does it make? The rates are all about the same anyway. But sometimes the rates are very different. Let me give you an example where there's a huge difference in pricing between companies. Vehicle protection plans. Look, if your car is 4 years or older, having a vehicle protection plan is a no-brainer. The trick is not to overpay for it. Here are the facts. The average price of a vehicle protection plan is $2,800, while the price of a TOCO warranty vehicle protection plan for most vehicles is just $1,500. The average down payment on a vehicle protection plan is $299. With TOCO warranty, there's no down payment. The average monthly payment on a vehicle protection plan is more than $160 a month. With TOCO, the average monthly payment is just $49. To get a highly rated vehicle protection plan at a great low rate, call TOCO Warranty at 1-800-987-3157. That's 1-800-987-3157. Terms and conditions apply.
If you want to stop moisture from coming into your home, think Ames. Apply Ames coatings to waterproof and protect roofs, basement walls, and decks. Ames adhesive high-strength elastomeric liquid rubber coatings are impenetrable. Extreme moisture protection. Look for the Ames Blue Max, Maximum Stretch, and Safety Deck brands at your local hardware store or see amesresearch.com. That's A-M-E-S research.com. Available at Ace, Do It Best, and True Value stores.
Hi, this is Bart Shore, and I want to invite you to try the new streaming radio app from Internet FM. It features 24 online radio stations playing nothing but rock and roll. No annoying pop-up ads, little or no commercial breaks, and best of all, no sign-up required. Simply download Internet FM from the Apple Store or Google Play, and it's ready to go. Just pick your favorite station and assign it to any of the 18 programmable buttons. That's the new Internet FM app on Apple or Google Play. Download it today.
Now, back to Home Improvement USA.
That's right, we are back on Home Improvement USA. Glad to have you with us today. I am Dave Rush, along with producer Steve Leventhal.
And remember, you know, you can always check out our website at homeimprovementusa.com. We have a lot of great information up there and links to great products and services. You can listen to the show live. You can listen to archive programs. Check it out, homeimprovementusa.com. Our guest this segment of the program is Rebecca Fife. She is from ABC, Humane Wildlife Rescue and Relocation in Arlington Heights, Illinois. Rebecca has been a frequent guest on the program over the past several years. We appreciate her coming on the program. Also, her dad, Garen Fife, you can check him out on our website on our experts page. And he founded ABC Humane Wildlife Rescue and Relocation. So let's talk about different types of animals around the house, in the yard, in the attic, how you get rid of them. Our producer, Steve Leventhal, wanted to add a bit here on the program. Steve.
Well, I was going to say, why don't you put Rebecca's picture on the expert page? She's
We're going to
so
do
more
that.
Pretty
We're
than
doing
Garen
that.
Is.
Well, Garen's kind of a good-looking man. You know, I'm not going to take that away from him, Rebecca, but I would say she's got a beat. Okay. Okay, well, let's start on this segment with raccoons, okay? A lot of people have raccoons in their garage or in their attic, and what do you do if you got a raccoon problem in the house?
Ooh, the masked bandits.
Oh.
Well, you get rid of them, and quick, because they are dirty and rowdy, and they're nocturnal. They're up all night. They keep our clients awake. So that's a really urgent call
they're
when we
smart,
have raccoons.
They're smart, though, aren't they? Aren't they smart animals?
They're incredibly smart, and they have five-toed hands that resemble tiny human hands and are so nimble and dexterous that they can manipulate anything. They can even pick locks.
I think that's the first time I've heard the word dexterous on the program in 14 years. But so how do you take care of them? What do you trap them. Those are animals that you trap, right?
You trap them. Raccoons have a really interesting cycle when they're in people's homes. They mark their territory with urine just like dogs and cats do. And that urine contains pheromones, which is the animal's sex attractant hormone. And while the animal's living there, it advertises basically to other raccoons that den space is taken. However, as soon as that raccoon gets trapped, and that signal starts to fade, it becomes a neon vacancy sign inviting other raccoons to live there. So once someone has had a raccoon problem, they're much more likely than their neighbor who's never had a problem to have a repeat problem. So it's really important that sealing up the area where they were is part of a solution to keeping wildlife raccoon problems in particular from reoccurring.
And they also present a rabies problem too.
They do. They're one of our state's top four carriers, so they shouldn't be handled directly. They should be trapped with humane box traps that don't harm them. And the best way to solve a raccoon problem is to watch when they leave their den, leave the hole in the roof or the chimney or wherever they're going in and out of. They're almost never stuck. It's always a situation where they're coming and going at their leisure. And set a box trap directly in the animal's path because they're very territorial. So they'll take that same path and mark it repeatedly. And you'll get the one that you're targeting because they won't be so eager to cross one another's paths. And once the animal's in the trap, take him away. And at that point, it's really important to put what we call an indicator over the hole where the animal's getting in and out. The reason is, if you were to just go ahead and seal it up at that point, you could seal one in. And an animal sealed in is incredibly dangerous.
Well,
it starts tearing everything up. So if that indicator, which could be an old bed sheet that you've stapled up there with a staple gun or, you know, a plastic garbage bag, anything, if that goes intact for 3 days in the summer or 5 days in the winter because they're willing to hold up for a bit longer when the weather's cold, then you know that your problem is truly solved and that you can go ahead and permanently seal that opening. But to do that prematurely before you've had an indicator go intact for the right number of days is really dangerous.
Okay, so that's raccoons. And you said earlier that their urine is also the item that attracts the sex mate?
Yeah, just like...
I didn't say that so well, but I think you know what I'm trying to say.
I did.
It's touchy. But is that what they do?
Yeah, just like you see dogs and cats mark their territory, you see raccoons mark their territory. And actually, did you know that woodpeckers mark their territory in a totally unique way?
Well, I've watched a lot of the cartoons, but I never knew. They never really displayed that in the Woody Woodpecker cartoon.
Actually, what you've seen on the cartoon is exactly what you need to know. When you see woodpeckers, when you see them peck, people will say that they're looking for bugs, and oftentimes they are, but actually the majority of pecking that woodpeckers do is an act called drumming, which is marking their territory with noise.
Mm-hmm.
So when people call us, a lot of times they've called an exterminator first, and an exterminator will say, if you have woodpeckers pecking your house, you need to have your roof treated for bugs because they must be pecking for bugs. But that's not true at all. The vast majority of the time, they're marking their territory with noise. And by simply putting up some Mylar balloons or shiny foil tape that move in the wind, that will get rid of them and have them go to your neighbor's house instead.
Oh, okay, and that's always the way to go. Get them over to the neighbors. It's amazing what animals do to attract the opposite sex, and it's a lot cheaper than dinner, drinks, and a show, you know. Okay, let's move off from raccoons and let's move into snakes. You know, people have problems with snakes in their house. Now what do you do?
Okay, well, there's no commercial repellent approved for snakes. So anything that you see sold to chase snakes away and things like that are generally things that are really toxic and have like naphthalene or other things that can cause cancer in them or that could be dangerous to sprinkle around because then people's dogs or children could get into it in your yard. So first of all, I don't recommend any repellent for snakes. The best way to keep snakes out of your home is to seal up any hole a quarter of an inch in diameter or greater. That will keep snakes out. And then if an occasional snake does get into the home, it's usually an isolated incident and it can be captured in a bucket, brought outside, and it's really unlikely that the same person would have a problem more than once.
Okay. Are there types of snakes that you're going to find more problems with, or does it just maybe probably depends on if you're in Arizona or Maine? It depends on the geographical region, correct?
I'm sure it depends where you live. Here in Illinois, most of the snakes that we get calls for are garter snakes or rat snakes. Both are completely harmless, where my friend who's in the Air Force in Denver, under his computer building, he has rattlesnakes beneath the floorboards all the time and has to deal with that. So it just, you're right, it just does depend on the geographical location.
And the rattlesnake, that's kind of an interesting, just aside here. When does the rattlesnake start rattling? Just when they're feeling that they're being encroached upon? Or is that just basically it? Or are there other times that they rattle?
I think they only rattle when they're feeling threatened. And that's okay. Their way of warning you that you need to get back. So they're kind enough to warn you. It's the ones that you don't see coming that are the problem. The ones that people step on when they're hiking or discover inadvertently.
All right. Now let's move on to another very touchy animal to have to deal with, skunks. You don't want to get too close. This is something I think if I saw a skunk in my yard, I'd be like, oh boy, what do I do now? So what do you do?
David, can I confess something?
Sure.
I love skunks. Okay. They're my favorite animal.
Really? Okay, why is that?
They're so cool. I mean, the substance they spray is called butyl mercaptan, and it can be smelled from up to 15 miles away.
15? Really?
Really. It can be detected in really trace amounts up to 15 miles.
That's more than the producer.
That's funny.
And your husband was still willing to get married after you confess this, or did he find about this after the fact?
I haven't told him yet. I'll tell him when I get home today.
There you go.
But they can.
You already have a child together. It's all over.
Exactly. So okay. They can discharge up to 1 tablespoon of this thick, oily, volatile liquid. Wow. And anyone who's had their dog sprayed knows that it's very thick and oily and hard to get rid of.
And you don't want the dog to come into the house after being sprayed.
Exactly. You want to hose that dog down on the deck. And you hear things about tomato juice and baking soda being the best to remove skunk spray, but it's not actually true. I'll go again. Against the grain and tell you that that's not true. Once you've washed them down really, really well and removed all of the physical material, baking soda and tomato juice are really great for getting the lingering odor out. But in terms of removing the actual greasy material, skunk spray is about like melted butter. So you wouldn't use tomato juice to remove melted butter. You'd use some Dawn dishwashing detergent, some lemon dishwashing detergent to cut through that oil and remove it. And then only for the lingering smell would you bring in tomato juice, baking soda, things like that.
Okay, so you have one in the yard. You call ABC Humane Wildlife. What do you folks do to, I would imagine you're looking to trap the skunk also.
We do. We use plastic to cover our traps so that if it does spray at the time the door closes, it's contained within that. But we really encourage people to do a yard cleanup to keep skunks away. Skunks like to live in wood piles, under sheds. They're very timid animals, so they like a little bit of cover. They like to go through the bushes. So it's very important to keep the yard free of debris and keep the foundations of your stoops and your sheds and things like that very neat and intact. Skunks are really good at digging and they prefer to dig through loose pebbles, so pouring a solid concrete foundation or a sidewalk next to a building is a really great way to keep skunks from burrowing underneath.
Have you ever had any personal experience dealing with this problem?
Well,
I know your dad has, I'm sure.
I have. My husband got sprayed on his shoes while he was carrying a trap, and he brought them home, and they were in our garage, and it was a night that we were having a party, and I'm pretty immune to the smell, almost, if it's really subtle, because, you know, our office kind of has that aroma to it, but my party guests certainly weren't, and they kept saying, "Do you have a skunk in your house? Do you have a skunk? What is that smell?" So when I finally realized it was his shoes, we put them out for the night.
All right. Well, it's always good to have friends come over and point out the odors in your house that you yourself can't really target. Well, Rebecca, always a pleasure to have you. Thank you for helping us on this segment here. Let's get some contact information from you.
Sure. We can be reached on the web at www.abcwildlife.com. That's ABCWILDLIFE.com. Or on our toll-free number, which is 1-877-RACCOON. That's 877-RACCOON.
Okay, and you can go up to the experts page on the HomeImprovementUSA.com site, and you can get that contact information, a little description about ABC Humane Wildlife Rescue and Relocation. Rebecca Fife with us on the program, this segment of the program today. You are listening to Home Improvement USA. Since 1994, we've been bringing you the best in home improvement information with the experts each weekend.
Have you ever been turned down, rejected, or downright denied because of bad credit? Don't let your dreams disappear. We here at National Credit Advisor can help you qualify for that new car you've been dreaming about or that new home you know you deserve. Never again be rejected because of bad credit. Just call us here at National Credit Advisor today and see how much we can help boost your credit score. We've helped thousands repair their credit so they could finally start qualifying for the purchases they've been dreaming about. Stop being held back from getting the things you want. We help rebuild your credit score so you can qualify for the home, car, or credit card you deserve. No matter how bad your credit is, just call 1-800-605-3081 today to see how much we can help your credit score. No one is turned away. Call now, 1-800-605-3081. That's 1-800-605-3081. Again, 1-800-605-3081.
If you want to stop moisture from coming into your home, think Ames. Apply Ames coatings to waterproof and protect roofs, basement walls, and decks. Ames adhesive high-strength elastomeric liquid rubber coatings are impenetrable. Extreme moisture protection. Look for the Ames Blue Max, Maximum Stretch, and Safety Deck brands at your local hardware store or see amesresearch.com. That's AMESresearch.com. Available at Ace, Do It Best, and True Value stores.
Hi, this is Bart Shore, and I want to invite you to try the new streaming radio app from Internet FM. It features 24 online radio stations playing nothing but rock and roll. No annoying pop-up ads, little or no commercial breaks, and best of all, no sign-up required. Simply download Internet FM from the Apple Store or Google Play and it's ready to go. Just pick your favorite station and assign it to any of the 18 programmable buttons. That's the new Internet FM app on Apple or Google Play. Download it today.
Now, back to Home Improvement USA.
It is Home Improvement USA. I'm Dave Rush, joined by Steve Leventhal. And now we bring back into the program America's healthy home expert, Caroline Blazovsky. Caroline, welcome back to the show. How are you today?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. How are you?
She was awesome last time.
All right, yes, and so she's back on Home Improvement USA one more time. If you'd like to follow along at home, you can go to myhealthyhome.info. That's the website. You can learn all about Carolyn and some of the things that she is involved with, myhealthyhome.info. But to start out with, Caroline, why don't you tell us about the website and what you do?
Well, people can visit us if you're interested in creating a healthy home and finding out if you have potential toxins in your home or contaminants, or you're really into wellness and you just want to make sure that you're living in the best environment possible. You can visit us at myhealthyhome.info, or you can also go to our other website, which is healthyhomeexpert.com. And basically what we do is investigate homes to make sure that they're healthy by looking at things like dust mites and mold and vault organics and pet proteins, and really try to assess, you know, if people are living in the best environments possible, and then also if there could be things that are contributing to health effects if they are having them.
What if you have four cats like Steve has? Is that healthy for anything at all?
Well, he's got a lot of pet proteins, and so when you are going to have a lot of pets like that, one, you have to be really vigilant about how much you're vacuuming. So basically, my rule of thumb is if you have five pets, that's considered five occupants, and that means you have to vacuum every day for each one of the occupants. So, for example, if you had three people living in the house and you had two pets, you should be vacuuming five times a week. So the more pets you have, the more you have to control dander and proteins, and you have to clean and dust way more frequently.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, how often do you vacuum, Steve? Like once every 3 weeks or so? I've been to your house, so don't lie.
Weekly.
Weekly? Oh, you have people come in, don't you?
Sure.
You have people come in, don't you?
Think I'm going to vacuum?
All right. Oh, I vacuum? What is that? That's a chauvinistic statement right there, isn't it?
No,
You think I'm going to vacuum? You're too good to
vacuum. I'm actually really good with the broom and the dustpan in the mudroom where the cat litter boxes are, and actually try to work very hard to keep that stuff from sprinkling around the house, because you do see the litter occasionally in the hallways and all that. Try very hard to keep that down.
That's good. And the pets appreciate it too, because they get it caught in their paws. And a lot of these litters, unfortunately, do have a lot of chemicals involved with them. So if you can go to a more natural litter, it's much better for the animal, and it's also healthier for you in the home.
Caroline, now you have products that can address these situations. Let's get into that for a bit if we could.
Right. So if people want to test their homes, and most people, what happens is they'll end up at a physician or a doctor's office, and they have sort of what we call nondescript complaints, right? So you have headaches, maybe you have sinus problems, maybe you have digestive issues, and there really isn't an explanation for it. A lot of our clients, physicians, will send them to us to get their homes tested for all different things. And it doesn't matter where you are in the country. If you're in California, if you're in New Jersey, we can ship you kits depending on what your need is. And we can test your home for all different things, from molds and allergens to VOCs and gases to pet proteins, and basically find out how healthy your house is. So it's really easy to do.
Okay. And what about your house? What do you do in your house? Because obviously, you know, being America's healthy home expert, you're going to do it at your place. So give us a routine of kind of what you do.
Well, one of the biggest things I think I do is that I really use non-toxic cleaners. So I try to use things like vinegar and water, hydrogen peroxide to clean, like especially the toilet bowl. A lot of people will use a lot of bleach or a lot of the insert disinfectants that are really powerful and strong as far as chemicals go. But around the toilet and things like that, you can use hydrogen peroxide, which works great. Obviously, vacuuming a lot. Like I said, you want to vacuum per occupant. So if you have five people in the house, you really want to vacuum five times a week. Outside of that, I mean, building construction, you know, surfaces. I like things like hardwood and tile that are easy to clean. Carpeting is much more challenging. And if you are going to have carpeting in the house, you really shouldn't be wearing outside shoes indoors. So those are some of the things that my house is built with.
Well, carpeting is good for a lot of things, but I would imagine for molds and indoor allergens, it probably is a bad thing. And tell us why again.
Because it traps debris, you know. So a lot of the things that you bring in, if you have a pet, for example, and they go out and they roll around in mycotoxins outside from molds, or they roll around in different bacterias, they bring that into the carpet. Also, dander and dust mites and things can live in the carpet because you can't get, the vacuum doesn't necessarily get to underneath part where you can actually clean up that space. So they are good. Carpeting's good if you want a workout room, or you need support, or if you have elderly people living in the home, things like that, it's great. But you want to be minimal with it, and you also want to make sure that you are dusting and cleaning and vacuuming frequently if you do have carpet.
Okay, Caroline Blazowski is with us, and you can see all about what she does at myhealthyhome.info. That's myhealthyhome.info. And you belong to a variety of groups. Tell us about these groups that it's their agenda to help with things that you're talking about here today.
Well, the Indoor Air Quality Association is a really big group that I've been involved with, and I sit on their public education committee nationally. So that's really great for people who are resources. If you're an inspector or you want to learn about indoor air quality or understand, you know, how our indoor air quality plays into our health and wellness, there's other organizations that I'm a part of, like the National Environmental Health Association, that looks at the correlations between health and our environments and then our wellness. So there's a lot of great organizations out there, and you know, really for people to get involved and just to learn more on the web if you're researching, you know, how type of inspectors or researching these types of topics.
Okay, Caroline, now what about building construction? Does that have anything to do with whether your home is healthy or not?
Absolutely. So everything we bring into our homes, whether it's through building, renovation, all of these products that we use, you know, whether it's flooring or engineered flooring or our, you know, particle board or plywood, all these things outgas. And especially if you're doing remodeling projects, we've become concerned with formaldehyde levels. You know, you've heard in the news with the whole flooring issue and where we had high formaldehyde levels coming from Chinese flooring that was brought over from overseas. And the issue is that when formaldehyde gets to a certain level in the home, and this can easily happen, especially if you're doing building projects and with personal care products, it's in a lot of things. Those levels get high, and we're concerned because we know formaldehyde is a known carcinogen. So it's important now we have the ability to test homes for formaldehyde. And if you have done a new building project or you've done new construction, it's worth it to get a test done to make sure that your level is acceptable and you're not overexposed to formaldehyde.
President and founder of My Healthy Home, Caroline Blazowski, is with us. Now, what about commercial application? The workplace sometimes is not as safe as it could be. What about there?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of, I happen to focus on residential homes because that's my specialty, but I've worked on commercial projects too. And obviously, yes, I mean, workplaces are notorious for having the same issues that homes can have, you know, regarding building, fresh air, ventilation, making sure that, you know, they're storing products that may be contaminants. So there are inspectors that focus on commercial buildings, but a lot of the information that I'm giving you can be applied to an office setting just as well as it can be a residential setting. So it's important to keep an eye on what's going on in your workplace as well.
Okay. So, go ahead, Steve, then I'll follow up.
Well, one of the questions that I had, you see these from time to time. They sell these home air purifiers and things like that. Do they help at all?
It's a tricky question because when I got into the business years ago, I was more a proponent for air purifiers. But now as I've developed more knowledge, air purifiers sort of collect all these things that we don't want in the air. So if you are allergic, like I've had clients who are allergic to cats or mold or dust mites, and these things get captured in the filter, which sits in the corner of your room, these people can become symptomatic because of the fact that you're not really removing these contaminants. You're sort of just stockpiling them in the corner in a filter. So I really prefer more ventilation systems like energy recovery ventilators, heat recovery ventilators, anything that's going to exchange that air to help reduce VOCs. But if you are dealing with a problem like in the city where you're battling particulate in the air or things that you can't really get rid of, then there's application for purifiers, and you have to make sure that your purifier is really designed for your problem. Not all purifiers are the same, and not all technologies work against, you know, certain contaminants. So you want to make sure that when you are buying one that you know that it's going to work for your specific problem.
You have air testing, mold testing, water testing kits available. I guess there are people out there that might say, well, I've heard about these in the past. I don't know if I trust all of them. What would you say to that?
Well, our test kits are really different. I mean, they were designed for physicians. They were designed for patients in doctor's offices. So we have developed them so that they are on par with what you would get if an inspector went out. There are a lot of test kits on the market that you can just pick up at a local hardware store, and they're not, one, they don't have the consultations, the quality assessment, and the quality behind the kit. And they're not bad. They can give you an idea of what's going on in the house, but our kits were designed to give you specific information and give you knowledge about what's going on on a medical level, on a physician level. So that's where we're a little bit different. I mean, that's what our company's been designed to do, is to help physicians with their patients. So our information is really quite exact.
My Healthy Home, and the website myhealthyhome.info. President and founder Caroline Blazowski. Caroline, thanks very much for coming on Home Improvement USA again. Good luck to you and your company.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Okay, you too. And remember, catch Home Improvement USA 24/7 at homeimprovementusa.com or kwwradio.com. That's homeimprovementusa.com and kwwradio.com.
Looking for a project to take home this weekend? I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about sealing that garage floor right after this. Windows are a prime spot for energy loss, but you can add a barrier against the winter chill by installing Duck Brand Roll-On Window Kits. Roll-On Window Kits come with a pre-taped edge for easy application, require no measuring, and fit the window frame for an airtight seal. Also look for new Duck Max Strength Window Kits with puncture-resistant film that is 2 times thicker than standard window kits, making them ideal for high-traffic or pet-friendly homes. Find Duck Brand weatherization products at duckbrand.com. Sealing a garage floor makes it look better and leaves it easier to clean. The best way to do that is with one of the 2-part epoxy systems that come in a kit from the home center. Most come with a concentrated cleaner you use to prepare the surface. After it dries for a day or two, you're ready to seal. Unlike paint or stain, epoxy sealers are mixed immediately before use, and you only have a limited amount of time to work with them. Once you mix it, be ready to start rolling and brushing it on because the clock is ticking. Work small areas and keep a wet edge like you would with paint. The kit also comes with decorative paint chips that you can sprinkle into the epoxy while it's still wet. The result is a beautiful garage floor. I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner.
The Year in Sports. I'm Bob Terrell. Join us now in 1983 on The Year in Sports. Pasadena, California, home of the Rose Bowl, hosted the Redskins against the Dolphins on January 30th. Dick Enberg and Merlin Olsen called Super Bowl history as the Redskins gained a Super Bowl record 276 yards on the ground to win the 17th Super Bowl 27-17. The 37th season of the NBA ended with the 76ers sweeping the Lakers 4-0 in the finals. 76ers head coach Billy Cunningham said the difference from last year was Moses Malone. Al Michaels, Howard Cosell, and Earl Weaver called the 1983 World Series, with the Baltimore Orioles winning 4-1 over the Phillies, nicknamed the Wheeze Kids because 4 players were at least 40 years old. In hockey, sports history was made. The New York Islanders won their 4th Stanley Cup in a row, beating the Edmonton Oilers 4-0. I'm Bob Terrell. Thanks for joining us in 1983 on The Year in Sports.
Have you been thinking about trying Viagra or Cialis? If you're paying $20 a pill for Viagra, you're being taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $2. Save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Get 50 blue or 50 yellow pills for just $99. You save more than $500. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in an unmarked package. Call us right now. 800-967-6803. 800-967-6803.
The Year in Sports. I'm Bob Terrell. Join us in 1991 on The Year in Sports. The Washington Redskins led the NFC in 91 with a 17-2 record. They went on to win the Super Bowl over the Bills 37-24. Firsts and lasts happened in NBA action. 91 was the first NBA Finals broadcast by NBC. It was Michael Jordan's first NBA Finals appearance and Magic Johnson's last. The Bulls took home court advantage over the LA Lakers 4-1. The 1991 World Series was ranked by ESPN to be the best ever played, with 5 of its games being decided by a single run, 4 games decided in the final at-bat, and 3 games going into extra innings. At the close of the series, it was the Twins over the Braves 4-3. 2 in a row for the Pittsburgh Penguins. They won the Stanley Cup over the Chicago Blackhawks in the best-of-7 series 4-0. I'm Bob Terrell. Thanks for joining us in 1991 on The Year in Sports. I'm Bob Terrell. Thanks for joining us in 1995 on The Year in Sports.
Hi, everybody. This is Pat Hughes, radio voice of the Chicago Cubs, and I would like to invite you to check out Baseball Voices, the Hall of Fame series. These commemorative audio tributes celebrate the greatest baseball announcers of all time. Harry Carey, Jack Buck, Bob Uecker, Harry Callis, Marty Brenneman, Red Barber, Milo Hamilton, and Dave Niehaus. These CDs are a collection of highlights, history, humorous stories, and Hall of Fame speeches. Available now at baseballvoices.com. That's baseballvoices.com.
Hi, this is Bart Shore, and I want to invite you to try the new streaming radio app from Internet FM. It features 24 online radio stations playing nothing but rock and roll. No annoying pop-up ads, little or no commercial breaks, and best of all, no sign-up required. Simply download Internet FM from the Apple Store or Google Play, and it's ready to go. Just pick your favorite station and assign it to any of the 18 programmable buttons. That's the new Internet FM app on Apple or Google Play. Download it today.